accession number 23363, Reel 9.
Reg Best, Reel 10.
And so we were in Ypres, and a very nice time we had there till the end of the war. One of my jobs was to I formed a little mess there, although I was the only sergeant. I got them all to sort of join a mess, put a little money in, and we employed a Chinese chap to be a cook for us. And I drew the main rations. We're still using compote pack, as we did in Europe. But we also were able to draw for the Indian chaps in the Madrasis, managed to draw a thing in a square metal tin, again rations for tin, including the type of thing they eat. As a consequence, I took some of the items out of that, like the rice and the ghee and whatnot, took it down the market in Ypres, one of my little jobs, and exchanged it for eggs, bananas, and whatever I could find on the stalls there, which was brought back, and the cook put it to good advantage. The better food for us we might otherwise have had. We pooped a little there once, I remember. Soon after we got there, I thought I would each of the wireless trucks, and there were six of them, and the first night we were there, it was a typical we had these six trucks, which were our total equipment for transport. Each one normally to be associated with the engineer companies. So I had them all together there in Ypres for a lot of the time. I can't quite remember why. I think I had them all in so we could have the chat. I had them in to join the football team or something. Anyway, each carried a trailer. And we left them parked there in our own little compound outside this house at night. We came out next morning and it full of rain. Typical tropical downpour like you get in Malaya. Absolutely filled them with rain. I said, no problem there, we just turn them upside down. Brilliant. All sold. Next night, came out, trucks, no water in them, they were upside down. But all the wheels and tyres were missing. Yes. I asked for six more trailers, or tyres for them, and anyway, he took it very well. But, not very wise thing to do, obviously. We were sort of on the edge of the jungle in a way, so it wasn't very surprising. Same time we were on the edge of the race course. And they had the first rerun of races in Malaya while we were there. And we went all just had to go over the fence to watch the races there. We were chatting to a chap who was the batman of the captain somebody who was running these races. And he marked our card for us and he says, there you are, you take those and you do all right. Well, they did. These horses sort of all came up. It rather put me off betting on horses after that. If somebody knew the results, it's probably very different at home, but just to get the thing going, how they behave. And ourselves, well, we made our way down to in the evenings, every night, to the cabaret, which we took over where there's dancing girls, you buy your tickets and have a dance with a girl. And we went en masse, really, all 12 or 15 or whatever there were of us. and a good time was had by all. Charlie Cook, he was good on the drums, so we got him up with the band playing the drums. And we watched a beautiful tune they had, Trying Blue Land. It subsequently became the Malayan national anthem, incidentally. They had a competition to have a Malayan anthem when they got independence. Larry Adler, I remember, was one of the contestants. But they couldn't find anything good as their own sort of folk song, Terengbulan. Terengbulan, Dan Bing Tang Poon Pachaya, Temi Dudo, Many Nyo Kansayan. So, sorry, burst into song. It's a very good tango. Not that I could tango, but that was fine in the cabaret, and then came up to Christmas 45. We had difficult there to have an English type Christmas, but we did the best we could. We had through being with all this mass of Madrasi sappers, the quartermaster, who was an English bloke with the companies, was able to draw rations for the rum rations for the whole of the Madrasa who didn't drink it. So he'd saved it all up, and at Christmas, every man on the table, when we had a Christmas dinner in this house, which we made as good as possible, was had a pint bottle of rum beside it. And we were well away. The CRE said he'd like to come round and see us at lunchtime. And so on the strength of that, I taught the chaps the CRE song, which we duly performed to him, for him, and which apparently pleased him. You know, is that the CRE song? Do you want to hear it?
I think I'm going to. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Stevens, it's a witchy-watchy night. Hurrah for the CRE. We've been working very hard down upon the heart. Hurrah for the CRE. You make fast, I'll make fast, make fast the dinghy, make fast the dinghy, make fast the dinghy. You make fast, I'll make fast the dinghy, make fast the dinghy pontoon. For we're marching on to Laffin's Plain, to Laffin's Plain, to Laffin's Plain. Yes, we're marching on to Laffin's Plain, where they don't know sugar from tissue paper, marmalade and jam. I saw a nigger boy playing by the fire. I saw a nigger boy pulling his wire. Hold him down while I get at him. Hold him down. The CRE. Hooray!
Well done.
You like that?
I did.
Sorry about that. Pleased the CRE anyway that Christmas. And we had a very good time. And we had work to do, keeping the road open to being mined or anything by which time, through insulting these Force 136, their lot went back to the jungle and started being a nuisance to the British. And that they had to be guarded against on the roads, and any journey for ourselves became unnecessarily difficult. I used to go up to to Taiping to get, well, to rations or anything else. Taiping was about 60 miles north, but it was my duty. What the others particularly insisted I went there for was, one of the things I was able to draw was a ration of fresh lettuce for them. But I remember towards the end, they'd run out, and so they go back on Japanese rations. And I had lots of complaints. I'd come back with an issue of these Japanese versions, because they turned out they were rather short. They weren't very well accepted. But that was just doing my duty. After all, it's rather important. And so, came round, when would it be? March, I suppose. March of 45. News came through that Group 28, which was my group, was due for embarkation. I spent one final week in... the rest of the unit at that point we moved up to Kuala Terengganu on the east coast, the Sappers, supposed to clear the roads and things there. But they said I could stay, got permission to stay behind and move into a hotel in Ipoh. That was quite a good week. But there you go. And we won that last week in Ipoh. I was taken down to Singapore. Very interesting to look around Singapore, of course. Had about a week or maybe two while we were waiting for a ship to board. Went to a concert, their first concert there. Chinese performers in the Victoria Hall, I think it was called, and acquainted ourselves with a padang where Mountbatten had taken the surrender, and after a very interesting week really in Singapore, went to the Worlds, of course, Great World, New World. And so I think it was beginning of April, maybe still March, April or March or April in 1946, the service, active service, virtually came to an end, and I joined the Winchester Castle, I remember. Quite a good ship to go home on. Boring. Completely boring all the way home. Bingo seemed to be the sole form of entertainment that threw me to go, I remember. And we docked at Southampton. Up to Reading, which was to be a demob centre. Rather convenient. So I've been drawing my demob suit and the other apparel, which they so kindly gave us. Then they put in a parcel, wrapped up in a sort of parcel, yeah. And took one final night in Reading, which proved quite a good way to finish, because my best friend, one of my two best friends, in the early stages of the war in England, Gil Allen, kept a pub in Reading, the Pond House on the Oxford Road. I think it's still there, I think, and well, the pub is, even if it's got a number name. And had a good night there, and then home to be duly, gladly welcomed by the family, and down finish, I suppose, where it all started, that night in September 39, with a pint, not cider this time, pint of Bass in the Crown Hotel.
Were you in the held in reserve?
Oh yeah, sure. You put on a war in war reserve, which never heard anything from. And there ends a very boring sort of. Well, I tried not to make it boring, as you can, as I've tried to explain. It would have been otherwise. So if there's a lot of stuff that's not of very great military significance.
Any
in that
regrets?
Record, but kept me alive, you know.
Did you have any regrets?
Regrets?
Of the time you've spent?
Yes. Oh, yes. Indeed. It was the early part, until D-Day. It was 4 or 5 years wasted. Years. Yes, particularly I could have been playing more sport and so on. You might say you could play sport in the army, but it wasn't that way with us. We were never in barracks. It was always in taking over a school or somewhere for billets, and sometimes it worked out all right when we were in King's School at Canterbury. I played on the courts that they had there, play tennis, and it was quite good in that respect. And I had some sport, particularly in the hockey teams that we got together at times. But no, I
And you had no desire to sign up for the regulars?
Not at all. None at all. I hope I did my bit, small as it was, in my own way.
Yeah. Think you're a better person for it?
Oh, yes, I have more experience of other people. That could be, it's really for other people to judge, but it could well be. Yeah.
Would you have missed it?
Yes. Yes. As I say, I always wanted to travel. Although I worked in the offices with Cunard to start with, I always wanted to become a purser or something like that. Get around that way. Yes, I'd have missed it. Willingly. Yeah. I think most people would. It really took a slice out of so many people's lives. You met some good pals. And of course, I've seen since. Sadly, as a quick reflection, I can't think of one now. They have all died. It's good recalling some of these. Tales that you've heard, I suppose. We used to have fun meeting in London afterwards, yes. We always used to meet in Leicester Square there in that Whitbread pub. John Sutherland and Irene at that time joined us. John and his wife. And another friend of Irene's girlfriend and her husband. The six of us had regular periodic meetings in London.
So you made some lifelong friends?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Anything you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think that's probably enough of horrified enough people. Yeah. This tale of the rake's progress.
And, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.